Hey there, welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast, where I'll be sharing insights on surviving the various phases of life as a youth living in Ghana. I am Kwame Nyameche Adepar, your host.
Hello and good afternoon or good morning or good evening, depending on where you are joining us from. You are welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast. And of course, my name is Kwame Nyameche Adepar, and always your host for the Kwame Adepar podcast. I want to know who is joining us on today's call. So if you are here, please leave a comment in the comment section and let me know where you are joining us from. Today, we're going to have a very interesting conversation about further education versus entering or staying in the workforce. And I have with me, Dr. Nanaya Akwes, and we'll be having a very good conversation. Doc, you're welcome. No, let me not say Doc. Nanaya, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Good to be here.
So, Nanaya, tell us a bit about yourself before we start into the conversation.
Okay, so like you said, my name is Nanaya Njijimfi Akwe, and I'm a lecturer of management. I teach organizational behavior and related subjects, leadership, what have you. And I'm currently employed as China Europe International Business School. So I'm based in Shanghai and Accra.
No. Oh, so you're based in Shanghai and Accra?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
You're just left to one place and you become a trinity. One person based in three places.
Well, obviously, I'm not doing both at the same time. So I'm either in one place or the other. Yeah, I haven't transcended to the level where I can split personalities. No one.
I'm sure the cloud will make you be able to do that. You're working on the cloud.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ways and means, yeah.
I know, right. So how has the experience been working with people from different cultures and all that?
It's very interesting. It's so this is the fourth country that I'm working or studying in, or let's say the third one apart from Ghana. So it's funny that I studied in the UK, I studied in Spain, and each one of them was different. So coming here was unexpected in that I felt like I had to start all over again because the culture, the expectations, the way people relate is completely different. But for me, I think one thing that is common all through the different places is it just underscores to you that there's no place like home, because there are certain things that you just cannot replicate. Their jokes are not your jokes. You know, the Ghanaianisms are not fake. You're like, somebody can just put something on Twitter. I don't need 2 seconds to know exactly what they're talking about because they're like, I laugh because it's a Ghanaian, we get it. But you don't really need to see it. So yeah, but it's a very nice business work, very wonderful working environment. I'm actually quite with China. This is not my first time coming here, but getting the job was the first time that I actually entered China. I was blown away.
Interesting. So right into our conversation, today you're talking about further education versus entering the workforce. You know, this conversation became very prominent. So when we began, I think about 5 months or so ago when I decided to start the podcast, and I was thinking of topics that will relate with people that I connect mostly with. And those will be young people, because basically this podcast has been put together to help young people make very good decisions going through life. So I try to share my insights on some life issues and how they can make good decisions. And sometimes I bring experts like you to also come and share. And when I was just doing an ideas dump of the thing that we could talk about, and I noticed that at some particular times of the year, right, we see people congratulating people. It started from people being called to the bar, then people now doing their masters. And now the masters, we have foreign masters and local masters. The way they congratulate people who do foreign masters is different from the way congratulate people who have done Ghanaian masters. And it's coming a fact, especially are people really interested in, they don't know what it really comes with to do like foreign course or course outside. And is it that people just want to go outside, what they are doing, irrespective of the course, as long as they have left the shores of Ghana and they are studying outside, is a good thing. So that's what brought conversation, you know, about studying, about furthering your education or entering or staying in the workforce. So to begin with, I want to know how has been your background, like when you finished undergraduate, how did you transition into postgrad programming, and what did you really look out for to make the decisions that have brought you to where you are?
Okay. First of all, congrats on 5 months, you know, on your podcast. I've had a blog since 1922. I can't even be consistent, but I really admire your commitments. You know, well done. Well done on that. Keep going. Very true. We'll go to the whole we asked, you know. Now, to answer your question about my own journey, how did I make my decisions? Well, basically, I did my undergraduate, I did all my schooling in Ghana up to undergrad level. And I did my bachelor's degree at the Skip Gamma Business School. When I finished, I did my national service at the business school because, you know, to answer this question very eloquently, I would have had to have been someone who knew exactly what she wanted to do, and I wasn't. Right. So I was that kind of child who used to change her career every year. This today an uncle comes out, what do you want to be able to do? Next weekend they come, I want to be something else. And I took that into university. You know, I knew that I didn't want to do science, so I definitely didn't study science secondary school. But then I went to the school in for my undergraduate degree, and when I finished I did my national service there. And then I at the point where I was doing my national service, I knew that, or at least I didn't know for sure, but academia seemed good enough, like a job reading and writing and teaching. That's what I thought it was. It seemed fine to me. It seemed like it will do. Well, maybe I figured out what I actually want. And school was something that was enjoyable to me. So the idea of staying in school and hiding from the big bad world out there was very appealing to me. So I'd already started studying for the GM exam, looking for schools, all of that. So after my national service, I took the month in between till I started school. So I accepted a job at a technology startup. I thought it would be a nice thing to do different from the usual academic stuff that I had been doing. And so I pursued that job for about 10 months. It was fun. And that company is now thriving, doing very well. It's called Insano. And so after that, I went to school. Yeah, Insano, yeah. It's a whole different story, but let's just focus on the topic. Yeah, so I went to do my master's, and then after the master's, I did well on my master's, well enough to have qualified to, you know, do a PhD, but I was so burnt out after my dissertation, and I knew that I didn't want to study for a PhD what I had just done. I wanted to do something different. I didn't know what. So I took the advice of my supervisor in the master's degree. Then I came back to Ghana for 3 years, and he got the word. As soon as I came, I landed a job at CEIDS in the Accra office as a research associate. Did that for 3 years, and then I'm back at Suits again, but this time as a faculty member. So that's the journey.
Yeah, so I see that after your undergraduate, you had the opportunity of entering into the workforce before you came out and now further to your master's. So, do you think it's, let me put it this way. What are the benefits, right, of going into the workforce right after undergraduate?
Right.
And probably deciding what you want to do as a master's degree, or going directly to do your master's right after undergraduate. What are the benefits of both sides?
Like, I don't want to say which one is better, so that we get the answer, it depends.
So let me, I will answer the question you did not ask, right? I'll go for the which one is ideal, right?
Okay.
Thing. Then maybe I'll try and we'll break it down with subsequent questions. So in an ideal world, perfect world where nothing goes wrong, whatever, the ideal thing is, I think, it's in my humble opinion, I think it's good to finish your undergrad. If you're going to do your national service, get it out of the way. And then go and work. Get work experience. I would say a minimum of 3 to 5. 3 is more than the ideal number of years. I would say 3 to 5 years. 5 years should be just about right. Then you can look for opportunities to do your master's degree. The reason I say this is a master's degree is like, the answer is in the name. It's a master's degree. It's supposed to be an opportunity for you to master something. I cannot think of a single career path where you can master something just by sitting in a class and being a good student. Not even a teaching profession, which is actually where the classroom stuff happens. Even for teaching, you have to go out, practice actual teaching a class, try different students, different topics, different scenarios. So in my humble opinion, it is always better to get some real-world work experience before you go for the master's. And part of the reason is that, I mean, there are two main reasons for this. Number one, for the master's degree itself, the way the courses in the master's degrees are structured, especially in the top schools, you benefit more if you have some real-world experience prior to. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And to be honest with you, the top master's degree programs, especially MBA and so on, in the top schools, they won't even quick you on if you have work experience, right? So it's only if you're doing maybe a high or something that you can actually get access without having work experience. But even those, you will benefit more because you are mastering. If you're able to apply the experiences that you had from work, you will enrich your teammates more. You will enrich your class discussions more. You know, you'll just have a better understanding of, you know, of the work situation. And even when you learn it, it sticks better because you have something to apply it to. Okay, so number one is, I think, gain more from the course, right? And the second thing is, a master's degree, I mean, right now, we're moving gradually into a phase, like you were mentioning, right? It's like an annual thing where people are either being called to the bar or, you know, wearing the king's, like it's a sashay, you know. Master's degree is becoming like the best. It's like, if you don't have it, then you didn't go to school, sort of thing, you know. But at the same time, a master's degree is supposed to be something that helps you level up in your job. So, for example, if you just go and get a master's right after your undergrad, right, you can even get a distinction, whatever. The problem is, a master's degree is supposed to take you into your middle-level role or a senior-level role. But by the time you finished your master's and you have little to no work experience, you can't level up. You can't use it to get you to the next stage. So now you have to find something that makes you special. Because, and sometimes the mentality is, oh, I'll just do it and put it down. And then maybe 3 years down the line, when I'm ready for a promotion, I'll be there. But the problem is, if your master's degree is, you know, it's good for you, it clears the bar, you should qualify. But it doesn't, unless you go to a different company or something, it doesn't entice your employers to put more value on you. Because whatever you learned from the master's degree, they already have it. So you're not special anymore. Meanwhile, if you were there and you left and you came back, you have a work experience and you have a master's, they can't put you in the same role. You understand? So it tricks, right? So that's the ideal world. But of course, real life doesn't work that way. So for me, I tend to be very pragmatic about it. I say, listen, I tell myself, you're an African child. We don't get scholarships by us the way other people in other countries do. Scholarship secretariat is, you know, we know as well. Yes, part of work is the way other people in other countries do. Scholarship secretariat is, you know, we know as well. Yes, part of work. If the funding is applicable, you get a scholarship, you get to school. I'll say go and let the rest figure itself out. So that's my basic things that have laid the foundation for where I stand.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I really appreciate that, because I just noticed that the thing just looks more fashionable for people than the practicality to which you have worked before. Most people just do it because it's being done. I say this because sometimes somebody goes to do an MBA and you engage the person on issues and they don't seem to appreciate anything. It's like they just went there to just get the paper, you know. I have the paper so that I look attractive. But looking attractive and being attractive are two different things. So I like how where you take it from. But most
just
of
to
it,
quickly react. Sorry, just to quickly react to what you just said. It's true that some people might be doing it because it's a thing to do, but I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. I think, first of all, more education is always better than less education. Like, no matter how incompetent you find people to be compared to what their degree suggests, they are probably at least a little bit smarter because they sat in a classroom for 1 year, 2 years, than if they hadn't done it at all. So for me, it's better to get people trained, even if badly trained, it's better than, you know, the counterfactual. But the issue is, and the other side of it also is, if everybody is doing it, you can have all the right intentions, but then if you don't, then you are behind. So it becomes a catch-22. Maybe you have the right venues. So, yeah.
Then what about the opportunity cost thing? So let's look at it from this. You could have done something probably which is not a master's, maybe something like an apprenticeship, a more maybe practical thing. Maybe you could learn something, maybe take a practical course, maybe data analytics, how to use this data analysis tools, you know, things like that. So for me, I'm not just looking at it. I'm looking at it from more of the opportunity cost perspective, because you could have made a better decision if you were well informed than just to follow what is popular. Because sometimes some things are really popular, but they might not be as useful as how popular they sound or they sing, you know. So that's why the opportunity cost is high. So what could you have done, you know, so that they expose themselves to more? Because in the current space that I'm working, I see like developers and data. Then data analysts and those who are good at data analytics. Like, it's very marketable, you know? And I feel that if you are at home, or maybe sometimes we don't have a job, right? And you feel like the best thing you could do is just go to school, more education. But what about taking a course in data analytics and understanding things like that? In today's world, that AI is almost going to take over everything. You know, people say that AI will not take over people's jobs. I find that like a sweet lie. It's like saying that the typewriter will not take over people's jobs. It did take over people's jobs. But so you just have to evolve, because it's going to happen anyway. So yeah. So I feel like it's one of those things. But
yeah.
let's dive into the next question. You think that some...
I want to react quickly to what you said, if you don't mind. But if we're out of time, then don't worry. We'll probably come around to it. Yeah. Think about the certifications you were talking about, right? Because it's something that I was thinking about as well, with the data analyst course and all of that. But I think just quickly reacting to, you know, people being at home and taking the time. You see, the issue is, it depends on the person, you see. If you're a very focused, very self-driven person, you can be offline for 6 months and get like 5 sets. Because Coursera is the internet. If you have internet connection, you're fine. But for a lot of people, the master's degree, going to sit in a classroom and paying fees and then just going through the mill will be easier. And it's actually the guarantee that they will learn something, because not everybody is that disciplined. Like, there are times, don't you recognize where you're supposed to be doing serious work and you realize that you just spend like 2 hours on YouTube watching shorts or, you know. So you may be better served even learning something like data analytics, even if you're not a software person, because AI is the future, right? You can never go wrong with that. But then again, if you know yourself and you don't think that worked for you, then you know you might need to explore maybe a more traditional schooling path to start with, and then maybe later on explore, you know, other certifications and so on. But you're peaceful.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. So it's really about having enough information to make a very informed decision.
For sure. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So still on the issue of going straight into the workforce or doing your master's or postgrad course, do you think that there are certain career fields that further education is almost essential, and where experience might be more valuable? So maybe certain areas you need further education to do well or to be noticed and not really too much of the experience. Do you think that is a thing?
Ah, that's a very tricky question. But let's take it this way. When you say further education, you're specifically talking about a degree, right? But not like education in general, like a degree, like it makes sense. Okay. Well, let me think of a way to answer this. In every field, right, a master's degree is beneficial, let me just be blunt. It depends. If you are someone who has a unique skill, maybe a certain or like a unique asset, like maybe you have a mentor or you have a clear path to get to the top. Maybe you're a very sharp student. Maybe you aced your professional exams even before you finished your undergrad. So like you are on the trail, like to go to the top. I know someone, one of my mentors, right? He's the CEO of like an international insurance company across the continent. He's a CEO. He only has a bachelor's degree. He would love to get a master's, but he can't even find the time because he's in so much demand. You understand? A lot of the people I know who are at the top maybe only have their bachelor's and a professional qualification. But you see, I find that those are the minority, right? For the average person, if like you finish and your career taking off, you are in demand, because there are people like that. Like I was just looking at LinkedIn, right? There's this young lady who was my junior in senior high school. Right now, she's the MD of her own insurance company. Her company just made it to Ghana Cup 100. She's actually now in an executive MBA program at Oxford. She's now getting her executive MBA, but she's already been put on so many boards. She's 50. I don't know exactly what career pathway she took, but it's like her career has just been on the up and up. So if you're in that situation, a master's degree is a very trivial matter, right? Which you may not need it at all. Or maybe later on, when you have really money, you can go and do your MBA or global EMBA in one of these top schools, and it's fine. But for the average person, and especially for someone who, like in the situation I was, who is uncertain, who maybe doesn't have a clear path, isn't really sure, you know, where the next direction, we've been struggling to find a job and stuff, it might be safer to at least aim for the conventional path. And then always look around for an opportunity to do something different or something to add value or whatever it is. I hope you understand my question. So I think on the average, don't see what's asked. It's for some fields or it's for some people. I think on the average, everybody should at least aim to get a master's degree. If your career takes off and there's just never space for it, but you're doing great, fine. But if not, then as a point of time, because you just don't want to be in a situation where you're very senior, you have family and other responsibilities, but the one thing that's standing in the way of the promotion that you need is a master's degree. That is not an ideal situation to be in. Yeah. But then, of course, there are exceptions, right? So, for example, in my field, in academia, it's the one field that you can literally jump from school to school and get your PhD and graduate. That's perfectly fine and you should be okay. you just publish and make it through to associates, to full professor, and you're okay. So there are actually some academics who don't have 1 day of work experience, but you know, they're top of their game because it's about their research. And they gain the experience through teaching and so on. But even that, and I always used to say this before I even got my PhD, but one of the reasons why I actually jumped on the decision to come back to Ghana after my master's, when I was doing my master's in the UK, right, there was a stark difference between my professors who had work experience, who had worked as consultants or who had run a company or something for several years, and then later decided to go into academia. There was a stark difference between them and those who were like career academics for undergrad to master's to PhD. So even in a few like, which is training school to work in a school, work experience makes a world of difference. And in a school, the school that I currently teach in CIBS, but it's a bit different from the traditional business school because our main target, our flagship program is in the MBA, is the EMBA, like, because that's where our income comes from. These are the targets, and these have CEO level people, I mean, top CEOs of huge Chinese companies. Few people are millionaires. They will put someone like me to work, well, no matter how wonderful my research is, because what do I know? What can I tell them about running your business? But of course, if I've been in the field, at least taught for several years, it means I've interacted with business people for several years. So that it has sort of been some kind of vicarious experience that I've consulted for some years. Well, actually, people in my school are even encouraged to do consulting. Okay? Then you stand in front of them and tell something, right? So even in academia, work experience is very valuable, at least in the business world, right? Yeah.
Nice. So essentially, if you look at the trajectory your career is taking, and not just follow what is popular, but if you're not seeing the way, just follow the conventional. If you're not having any special things happening to you, just follow the conventional route.
Yeah. And remember that for me, the conventional route is not just finish and jump into a master's degree. Because for me, I always say that especially if you've done all your schooling up to undergrad in Ghana, if you can, for your master's, you need to go to school abroad. It's not you know, with any way trying to shape master's degrees in Ghana. It's just that there's a perspective, there's a certain kind of experience that you get there that you cannot get just by being in the same circle with the same people, with the same thoughts, the same approaches. It just changes your mind. And even going abroad to a foreign country to live there and, you know, just figure life out all by yourself for a year or two, it changes you as a person, right? And that, I think, is a very valuable experience. So
I agree at 1,000%. So, you know, something happened to me just, I think, 2 weeks ago, right? I was interacting with a friend of mine who works in a big international firm. Okay. And the way I know marketing and how it is done, right? And what he is doing. After we had a conversation, I noticed that, there is more to this thing. Because the kind of tools that they use in their space, the kind how they make their decisions. And I noticed that perspective and exposure is very different if you want to grow as a corporate person. So I agree 1,001% that having that international feel definitely is going to open your mind to certain perspective that you would have never imagined under normal circumstances. And I agree with that 1,001%. I mean, Anaya, when the guy was just showing me the tools that they use, things that I've been doing manually, right? They get it done with a click. And I'm like, wow, this digital marketing thing is there's another level to it. But you know, if you do not get the exposure, if you do not get the experience from other places and you're just stuck in your bubble, you think you're doing the best, but when that bubble is just a pin is hitting that bubble, you know that all this.
So you said you're excited.
I'll go to go to the next question, but you
before you move on, let's just to say that you're even talking about the hard skills, right? The hardcore, the technical knowledge, as a soft skill. Sometimes if all you get from the program is confidence, to be able to call an elderly person by their first name in a respectful way, like that, I didn't even know that that was a thing to like go to LSE, and my professors were telling me, they were upset with me because I just couldn't not call them professor so-and-so. It took me a while. But you see, some, even being able to meet someone and look them in the eye and shake their hand, because we don't do that back home. And if you're always at home, you're always in that mpacho frame of mind. So you don't gain that confidence. So there's something to be gained by studying abroad. But again, it's not to say that if the doors don't open up, if the stars don't align, you will be less. Like I said, I know a lot of people who did all their schooling in Ghana and they're still at the very top, right? So if you can get the opportunity, if it doesn't work out, relax. As we go along, I'll also share other things, other pathways that you can take to still get that experience, right? Even if you don't get to do it at the master's level.
So yeah, definitely we are having this conversation with Nanaya and our audience online. So you can put down your questions in the comment section. Let's know who is listening. You can just put your name and where you're listening from. And whatever that we are saying that you probably agree with, you can rehash it from the comment section. And if you probably don't agree with some of the things we are saying, why not put it in the comment section? Let's have a conversation about it. So yeah, I was saying that I was excited when we started talking about mentors, talking to your mentors. I want to find, did you get any advice from your mentors that made you make the decision of going back to school when you're working?
Not exactly. And even the mentors question, it's like any question you ask me is so loaded, it's a whole other session on its own. This whole my thing, yeah. You're talking, you won't believe it. There's also someone who is like a lifelong introvert. So it's, I can't even say that I had mentors until much later in life because I just didn't, like, what will we talk about? You know, but let's park that. So let's just park that. Let me focus. Not exactly. I think, like I said, I don't even know if I would have trusted the opinion of a mentor at that point in time because even I didn't know what I wanted, right? But as the time went on, it's more or less like it's like God revealed, I mean, obviously blame God for this, but I sort of figured out what I was going to do in pieces. Like I take one step, then the next step becomes clear. And it's like, I feel like it's God's sense of humor and way of playing around with me because I like control a lot. I really would have liked to see the full picture and from beginning. Thank you very much. He chooses not to do that because I guess it's the way of me learning to trust, right? So for me, it's been very piecemeal. But by the time I finished my master's at LAP, nobody had to tell me. I knew that, listen, if I'm going to do a PhD, even this 1 year, the 1 year master's that I did, the time I spent on dissertation, like my brain, if I had to read one more word of that dissertation, I would have committed murder or something. Like I was so sick and tired of it. I don't want to see it again. And there's no way I'm doing this over and over again for another 4 or 5 years. So it's like something that was not for. I was worried because it's like the opportunity is right in front of you, right? So what if you go, your parents come back, they have to start the application process all over again. What if your advisor who knows you and knows good work has left? There was some what, but at that point in time, I really knew that I couldn't. I just knew I couldn't. I needed a break. I needed a change of perspective. I didn't know what that was, but it, So for me, it's like I was already feeling these things, but I was afraid to leave and then like lose the foot that I put in the door. So it was when the course advisor told me, you know, so I went to see the course advisor when she told me, you know, go get some work experience, clear your head, figure out what you want to do, blah, blah. It was like a confirmation for me, right? So it wasn't necessarily that she, but like it gave me the added confidence I needed to make the step, take the step I knew I needed to take. Yeah. Wow. I guess it just goes to people who are in the same situation or who are uncertain, right? Generally, even when you're uncertain, you have a certain inkling in your heart. You have a certain direction that you are prone to take. So maybe what you actually need is confirmation. Like, is this the one? If not, then maybe you can think of something else. But I don't think it's necessarily about somebody telling you what to do because maybe that wouldn't even be sufficient or you won't be convincing enough. For you.
Yeah. But I see from what you're saying, a lot of self-discovery, a lot of experimentation, trying to know yourself more. And sometimes experimenting and discovering yourself can be scary, okay? You know, for me at some point, it was like, I just don't want to waste time, right? I want to get everything right so that I don't waste time, you know? And it's like discovering yourself, am I going to get it right, you know? Today, I hear a lot of elderly people say that young people of today, they don't want to be mentored. They don't like apprenticeship. And you know, I feel like the mentorship that maybe people of old knew, or the mentorship we are used to, need some rebranding. Because sometimes I see that mentors try to relieve themselves, like, in other young people. It's like, I was able to do this. Maybe I can relieve myself in this young man. And then, like, they redefine the person with themselves. And it's like, if a young person wants to discover and find themselves, it's like, hey, hold on, I've done this thing before. Listen to me, you know, that kind of thing.
You know what? I even regret using the word mentor now, because the person that I even described as my mentor, he and I have never had a discussion that's used the word mentor ever. How this person even pulled into my life, it was nothing to do with career, nothing. It was more like a fellowship thing. But it's like the relationship just developed. I never had to ask him, do you want to be my mentor, like a proposal or something. He never has said, you're my mentee, let's meet today as well. Never. That has never happened. So for me, it's more like, and I thank God for orchestrating that relationship, because if he left it up to me, probably would never have happened. But it's about somebody who I can actually have a real honest conversation with and just ask anything, and I look up to him and all of that. But at the same time, it's not a structured, I mean, and that's nothing against people who have that, right? I've seen on LinkedIn that one of my contacts, like, posted that he had a lunch date with his mentees, and, you know, they were reading a book, and I thought that was nice. Obviously, that works for some people, but it's never been the case for me, because I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to establish that kind of relationship. I just thank God. So maybe for those who are Christians, right, I think step one, just pray. Pray that God put people on your path. It's not a destiny helper, that somebody's give you a job sort of thing. No, but somebody who comes along the way and becomes a friend to you. Somebody who, without, you know, being preaching and all that, disciples you. Because, and sometimes you don't even have to talk about work or career. I don't think I've ever discussed it in my, he's not even an academic, so I can't even discuss my career decisions with him per se. But one thing, stop like being feeling lazy or demotivated and I look at him. I feel like they're not slack, because God, you know, the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's coming with people. Like, you just know, like, there are people that you are coming after. So you have to be in line, in a sense. So, yeah. And I think this is just encouragement to people out there who struggle with this awkwardness of how do I propose to a mentor sort of thing, that you can still have. We then flowers and chocolates, and then every day, yeah. But I don't know how. Lord help me, I don't know. For those people like me, awkward. I really about weeks. Like, you can actually have a mentor without it being that kind of thing. You can actually have people who even mentor you from afar. But again, if you have the chance and you can get it, I think go for it. Like the lunch dates. We meet twice a week or twice a month. That, I think that's super as well. If you can get it, go for it. Yeah. Yeah.
If someone wants to enter the workforce but still wants to develop a profession, what are some of the alternative learning or upskilling methods that they could consider?
Right. So thank you for asking this question, because it comes into this certification thing that I mentioned earlier, which I think is very important. So, for me, right, I feel like one very much overlooked or like best kept secret in professional development is certifications. In certain careers, it's more obvious than others. Like if you're in accounting, nobody has to tell you, you better go and do ICA or ACC. It's just almost like going to medical school. What are you not? Why are you not doing? But if you find a field that you're interested in, find out what their certifications are. Now, the reason why, and then I'll see that in the case that you want to further yourself, but maybe the funding is not ready, or ideally you want to be working, right? At least 5 solid years of work experience before you even think of a master's or whatever it is. Certifications are great because usually they're in parts. So it's not like a master's degree where you need $10,000 or you need, let's say, 50,000 Ghana cedis to go and pay your fees or whatever it is to get it done. You probably pay some amount of dollars that probably if you save enough, even on a national service job or something, you can probably save up and pay for maybe part one. Or maybe go for some classes, like, you know, it's actually in parts, in smaller bits, so that you can actually afford it. And this is something that counts toward that you're doing, right? For most jobs, having a certification counts for something. And this idea of time, I it's something that came up to me when you mentioned, you know, not wanting to waste time, not wanting to make mistakes. One thing that I think the Holy Spirit brought to my mind, you know, a few years ago, that actually calm down a lot too. I had to think, Nia, at what age do you plan to retire? Let's say 60, maybe. So you have what, like if you're 30 years, you have 35 years. How many, if you think about it, like when you get to the peak of your career, how many years do you need to make an impact? Like maybe being a CEO or maybe 10 years, right? So it means you have 25 years to iterate, figure yourself out. So really at the stage where you just finished undergrad, you're in your early to mid-20s, even like I'm almost 40 now and I've not made 10 years because I took this meandering path. But if I look back, there's not one single thing about my career that I think I should change. I wish I could have done it earlier. But I see the value in I see the value in every part of it. Right. So the is coming back to the certification thing. Even if you have to, you don't have money or whatever, so you have to save up and take your time. How long is your career? Stick to it and do it. Discover it. You see people finishing and where they are down, taking pictures of them. You have patience. You will get there. You can't. I mean, for me, when I look at there's a time when I really didn't even like going to LinkedIn because it just makes like every day somebody is doing something, doing something. So it's like, now I just use it to feel happy for people, number one. And number two, motivate myself. Like, oh, this person won this award. Oh, yeah, Charlie, we have to win more awards. Like, we have to do this. Oh, this person has done another course. Oh, let me cry. This course I started on Coursera. I had to get back. You get to like, not to be jealous or crying or supporting you, but just bring that yourself. There's more to do. You get it. And a lot that it's okay. It's your path. Stick to it. Yep. God blesses that kind of faithfulness, in all honesty. We'll do more professional exams. That's number one. Oh, to drop the bomb on this. The second one is actually this thing that you mentioned about data. If maybe you already professional exam, or you're between exams, you're bored, you want a change, or maybe you finish your professional exam, what next? Listen, data analytics, AI, ethics. And even if you can find something for sustainability, green something, if you're in marketing, you find green marketing. If you're in HR, green HR, human capital, find something in those spaces and do it. It can be a 2-course, a 2-month, just to learn about it and have a little certificate that you can put on your CV or LinkedIn. Or will do no, except it will help you. Because the future of our world, AI, the future of our world is sustainability. So if you can get any form of knowledge or additional skill in that, it's always, always going to, you know, be helpful. Now, the last thing, oh yeah, and then apart from that, right, another way of getting credentials without getting a master's degree is online courses, right? Like you said, if you go on Coursera, I have a shot for getting a maximum number of certifications that you can get with just one fee, with just $50. So, you know, on Coursera, when you go on Coursera, Usually for a monthly subscription, I think it's about $49, something like $50, right, per month. So if you subscribe and it takes you 2 months to finish a course, it means you're paying $150 for the same course. If you learn fast, you can even get 2 certificates for the same $50 because you finish everything within 1 month. Now, the hack I figured out is for almost every course, you have the option to audit the course. So you click on the course and the price thing comes up. At the bottom, there's a small link that's written very tiny, audit course. What audit thing does this do? About 8% of the course. You won't do the quizzes. They won't show you. Now, you can audit the course, do about 85% of the course without subscribing. So it's just on your normal Coursera account. When you finish auditing the course or a number of courses, then you just find a 1 month finish where you know you will have time. Then now you enroll for the course, pick up the things that were outstanding because they won't make you start from scratch. They'll just cover the portions that you hadn't done. So you can actually get a number of certificates if you're disciplined, just for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you squeeze a marathon is within that 1 month. And the rest of the time you audit the course. So yeah, that's a hack for you. That's true.
Okay. Interesting. I've learned a lot. You know, when you're talking about owning your own process and all of that, I noticed that I had an interesting trajectory right after school, right? So I did economics and statistics. Man, when I got that course, I knew that I'm going to work in Bank of Ghana. I'm getting there. But after I completed, I ended up in the hospitality. You know. And I ended up doing hospitality. I entered into marketing. At a point, I started selling books. At a point, I had to drive Uber. At a point, I went to manage a small guest house in my area. Like, this trajectory really made me up. You know, I was falling into HR. But it has made me a very valuable person today. All those little experiences. And when I'm making decisions and when I'm acting in my marketing role, I notice that I'm able to get quick wins because I'm a hands-on person. I'm a very hands-on person now. And during that time too, my salary wasn't any amazing thing, but I was doing a lot and I was still doing my certification exams. And today I've certified with SIM UK, and it also adds some grit and some gravitas and some confidence to me and the things that I do. So I really get it when you say you just have to own your trajectory and learn from it. As the time goes, see other people's success as a motivator and not a competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing with you, I almost forgot this. You know, I told you that there's a way in which, you know, even if you don't get the opportunity to pursue your master's abroad, you know, all hope is in lost because there's more. So then actually let me use this opportunity to pitch that in. So one thing people don't seem to realize is Harvard University, Wharton, ESA, like almost any top business school you can think of, they have executive education course certificates. So you can all your courses and everything in Ghana. But the thing is, how much value you're able to put on yourself at work. If you even work in the public sector and you rise through the ranks and become a director, you can actually go and get a certificate from Harvard University. And you have it, and you will get. See, at that level, right, that level of learning, when you sit in the classroom, you're sitting with top people from around the world. It's not just somebody who has money and has been able to take their time to go and do a master's. So that kind of experience will be more valuable than the 2 weeks that you go and do your residency program at Harvard also. Can be more valuable than the 1 year or 2 years that you go and do maybe in some smaller university in the UK or something like that. So if you get the opportunity to do your master's, go for it. If not, don't despair. Work hard. And even if you don't make it to CEO or director general level for your organization to sponsor you, those courses, right? Let's say if you have $1,000, $2,000. So what I'm basically saying is as long as you are able to be well enough that you can even afford to take yourself on a vacation, one particular year, instead of going to sit in your cousin's house in the UK or the US or going to Dubai and take more pictures, you can actually save that money and go and do this one. It's on your CV. You've been to Harvard. What? Who can tell you anything? You understand? You'll get the, you know, the experience because you have the work experience. You can actually bring stuff to the team. And those programs are not difficult to get in once you meet the qualifications. So they might, will have something like maybe 10 years of work experience or 5 years of work experience or somebody who has led a team. By that time, you tick all the boxes. So you don't have to have it, me, master's or undergrad. You can get a certificate from top schools, schools that you maybe you didn't even have dreamt to qualify off for a master's, because maybe you had some second class, upper or second class, lower, if you like, they won't take you. You can still find your way. So don't despair. If you can't make it, just keep trusting, you know, keep trusting in, first of all, trust in God, but also trust in process. If you're taking your time applying yourself and taking every opportunity that comes, you will get there. You will definitely. Yeah.
Great. This has been an interesting conversation, right? I have Nathaniel and Beaches ask some questions. But I just have about 30 seconds more to hit my time. 1 hour. I just don't want to go beyond the 1 hour.
No, but it's not here. It's 4:52 though. So we have about 8 minutes.
But we said it at the next point. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Then I was looking at the wrong time. Okay. So we have some time. We do have some time. Okay. Let me start with Nathaniel. Nathaniel is asking that. How do you manage work and schooling at the same time?
I don't even know how to answer this. You manage. Maybe talking more specific. I mean, it depends on what work you're doing and what schooling you're doing. If your schooling is related to your work, hopefully it will make it easier. It depends on what course you're doing. Like managing work in a master's degree is different from managing work in, like, let's say a certificate course. Is, you know, like I find it hard to frame the question. Or maybe you have an idea of maybe what the meaning behind the question so that I can.
I think basically he just wants to know how you survive when you are multitasking, really. Because
like how do you make it easy? Oh, my brother is not easy. Didn't she have the adult ticket and scam? Didn't they tell you? They didn't give me the memo and let me hand it to you. Adult art scam. The truth is, there's no easy road to it, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be disciplined. You, even if you are a disorganized kind of person, you have to be organized enough that you know what your deadlines are for work and you know what your deadlines are for school. Even if you're the last minute kind of person, which I don't recommend, but if you happen to be a last minute kind of person, just make sure that you always have time in the last minutes for work and for school and the two don't clash. So one thing that I do to really help me is I use Google Calendar. If you come and see my Google Calendar, you'll think I've given it to my son to draw colors all over, because I have colors for work. I have colors for personal life. I have colors for birthdays. If you see red, it's a deadline. So that it really helps me. Like, because, you know, at beyond a certain age, the memory isn't even what it used to be. So you can actually use the app to send you reminders when it's time to do stuff. So for me, if I have to do an assignment, let's say 1 week to time, it's in blue. But the week of the assignment is in red. So that even if I'm procrastinating, being complacent, by the time that I'm hitting, like it's like 3 days the assignment and I'm seeing the data, I know that, no, I need to sit down and do this. Sometimes it means you have to skip, I don't know, keep on sleep. Sometimes you might have to keep on a meal. Sometimes you might have to keep on like a Ghana football match that you really want to watch. But yeah, like there's no easy way around it. I think maybe finding a way of organizing your time so that you hit all the important deadlines. At least that will get you through. Yeah.
That's answer your question. I really like the part where you spoke about coloring your Google Calendar. I'm good to represent strong time management with a certain company. And when I was preparing my slides, I was even learning myself. And what you said really, really makes sense. Because, you know, I do a lot of my planning on my Apple Notes. And I have over 1,000 notes. So everything that I do, my my company, when I set up my new place, I open a whole folder for it. So everything that I do is there. My family life, everything that I do is there. My finances, when I get ideas on the spot, like I write almost everything. And the calendar too really helps. Like right now, I've stopped writing in books. Because I write in books and sometimes I can't find those books. So now I'll stop writing in books. I always write on my phone and I buy cloud space.
Yeah.
Do that and transfer, I change my phone. I always get everything following me. So yeah.
People used to use Evernote, but then they started to try and bring some funny pricing model. So I switched to Microsoft OneNote, which is free. And the cloud space is also free. So yeah, like we also write it. Because sometimes when you hold, and now I think that's one thing that the calendar helps me with. When you hold all the dates and the deadlines in your head, it's a lot of pressure. You always feel like you're running low. But sometimes when you put it in the calendar, it de-stresses you because you know that this thing is due on Wednesday. So today I can focus on this one thing. This one is not urgent till tomorrow. I don't have to pay attention to it. The same way with the note-taking apps. It also helps you to get ideas off your head. So you have a notebook for work. You have a notebook for, I don't know, church stuff. You have a notebook for whatever. So anytime you get an idea, you can just take your phone and write it down so that you don't have to hold everything in there. But like I said, it's very tension.
Yeah. I'll be very tenacious.
That's-
yeah, so BTC Sim, my name is Baba Abu Watcher from Takwa. Thank you, Baba, for watching from all the way Takwa. Very insightful. I personally read psychology. Personally read psychology as an undergrad, not knowing what exactly I wanted to do. After national service, I got a job with a recruitment company where I have been doing what I've been doing for the past almost 5 years. Then I thought to add more value. The experience now informed the path and I want to go. I am not capable of reading a master's course financially. So I learned the HR certification course, which I thought would give me higher experience. And what happened? Did I lose something?
It looked like it got truncated. So maybe I think I can guess what she was trying to say. But maybe she did it. I mean, I could be completely wrong. But in the interest of time, I'm just trying to fill in the gap. Maybe she's trying to say that she wants to get the HR certification course, which maybe she's hoping will take her to the next level. But maybe after doing the HR certification course, she's still at the same level. I don't know which one you did, whether the PHR or SPHR. And now, in certain field, but the professional course isn't as, should I say, regularized as well. So in accounting, for example, if you go work for an accounting firm, or high experience, if you work for an accounting firm and you're not BCCA, it immediately puts you in a certain category. If you were in a certain bracket before, you will be promoted. It's automatic. In HR, the professional course is now gaining traction. So maybe in the next few years, next 5 years, 10 years, maybe sooner, it will become like an necessity, like you need it to practice HR. But for now, it's not the case. Many employers don't even know it or don't recognize it, but it will change. Now, the thing is, while you have that HR course, right, and HR certification, you nobody can take it away from you, thank God. But the...
No, I think I've got a full one now. So he said, so I'm not capable of reading a master's course financially, so I landed the HR certification course, which I thought would give me a higher experience than positioning in HR. I did the course, not written the main exams yet, and I'm already an acting HR in the mining service company. One thing I can say is, like happens to everyone differently. I know someone who continued school from undergrad and has PhD now because the family was willing to support, but she does not have any work experience. She's still home. Conscious and intentional about what you want. If life happens, fine. If it doesn't, use what is available to achieve something.
Great. Thanks for the advice. But just quickly to land on what I was saying, because it's not exactly what hers was, more of a comment than a question. But I will, the advice that you didn't ask for, Beatrice, but the advice that I would give is, apart from the HR certification, right, there are other, even within the HRC, I go to the HRCI website, they have courses that they offer.
or ethics, people analytics, especially people analytics, because AI and technology has become so important in our world. When you gather a little bit of funds, like at least once a year, treat yourself to a course, like add some expertise to it. So you become the people analytics expert in your company. When they decide to bring some HR software or something, even if you don't know it, you'll be the go-to person for it. So it's like beyond just having the professional qualification, you begin to position yourself as a unique expert in that. So that's something I'll highly recommend. If it's mentoring or coaching, there's so many courses out there. Coursera has some free ones as well. If it's you want to be a pay expert, labor law, maybe you want to do arbitration, find out like what courses are there to help you become an arbitrator. It could be something you do on the side in addition to your HR stuff. Maybe later you can go into consulting. You get it. So yeah, like don't stop there. Keep going. So well done to you.
Great. And then yeah, I've read this. And anybody who's listening, please, doctors are not boring. You just experienced than I am. Doctors are not boring. PhD.
I'm not the kind of doctor who can save lives. Please, do not call me.
I think we're all the
doctor. I was thinking.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Nanaya, for investing your time in us. And for me, when I have people join the conversation and they willingly share their experience like you just did, I see it as a way that we are saving the next generation. I tell a lot of people that Africans are writing. We are writing. But sometimes the writing doesn't bring out a lot of conversations like this. But the writing, we will proofread again and make sure everything is nice. But these are very spontaneous conversations. And I know not so many people join the call, but this is going to be live. It will be on my platforms. And anytime people can listen to it. And I'm really going to push this because you've shared great insights. I think that people who are in undergrad, if they can hold on to such information, they will really, really do better. And I think that, I mean, even in economics, what really separates people is information. What really separates The more we put out good information, good content, we'll definitely see the kind of Africa that we want to see.
Amen.
We'll see a better Africa. And we are not going to leave Africa just in the hands of the politicians to rule. We are also as academics, as professionals, we're also going to contribute by using free spaces like this to push what we know and to make a better Ghana. So Nanaya, let's hear your concluding words and then we'll call it a wrap.
Yeah, I'm saying don't be discouraged by the numbers. Don't worry about it. You will blow up, my brother. You will blow up. And then one day you go viral and they'll say, oh, so you know what, in the past interview that he did with some unknown scholar somewhere, yeah, then I'll be like, oh yeah, I know, if I was on this podcast. Yeah. I think you play. Yeah. No, so I mean, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. It's fun. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm happy that I have something to share and something to offer. I'm on LinkedIn. If anybody has any further questions and they want to ask you, please send me a message. And yeah, all the best to you, Kwabnai, and I feel like somebody calling into a political talk show on the radio. Like all the best to your listeners.
You know, somebody told me that. No, you all see that one here. It's fine. We'll talk about that one later.
We'll talk about attention. Backstage.
All right. So to our listeners out there, thank you so much for investing your time. And yes, this has been the Kwabnai Power Podcast, and we are dedicated to providing you with insights that will make you have enough information to make better decisions as you survive in the various stages of your life, especially living in Ghana. If you want to share this link with your friends, leave a comment, we want to hear from you. And if you have any topic that you think we can talk about that will meet the mission that we have, please drop it to the comment section, or you can send me a mail, kwabnai@kwabnai.com. That's kwabnai@kwabnai.com. If you cannot spell it, you are not a Ghanaian. You need to spell kwabnai. So kwabnai@kwabnai.com. I'll definitely leave it in the comment section. So let's connect. And let's do more to see the kind of Africa and the kind of Ghana that you want. So thank you, everyone, and bye for now. Bye.